The world is a beautiful place, and I am no longer afraid to die. No, that's not the title for an indie silent film. It's the name of an indie rockin' band, which is the opposite of silent. And it just so happens that the band's frontman hails from the Mountain State. So I sat down with Dave Bellow to talk with him about the band's name, their new record, and how West Virginia plays a role in it all. You are from West Virginia originally, correct?
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about just how it was being raised here in West Virginia and just how you got involved in music?
Yeah, definitely. I grew up in Parkersburg, and there's a pretty good music scene there, but I didn't really get involved with it until I moved to Morgantown and went to college. Once I moved to, I was playing music alone most of the time in Parkersburg. I played with some really good people there, actually. Jim Staley, who lives in Pittsburgh now and plays music. He's an incredible drummer and all around, plays a lot of stuff. But I played with him. We didn't really, like, form bands or anything that played, like, a lot of shows or anything. And then I went to college in Morgantown, started playing open mics, and then eventually started playing real shows, and then eventually started get some bands together. I did that for a long time, and started coming back to Parkersburg and playing shows there in the summer. And that's actually how I met Derek Shanholzer, who's in this the world is a beautiful place, lived in Ohio and grew up in West Virginia, and was booking a lot of shows in West Virginia, and that's how I kind of got involved in music there.
And you have collaborated with a couple, or the band has at least collaborated with a couple of interesting West Virginia peeps, including Roswell Kid. How did that relationship come about?
Oh, I've been friends with those guys for a long time, and Derek got to know them through me mostly. When I was in college in Morgantown, I got to know Jordan and Adam through the Demon Beat, their old band. And then when that band broke up, they started Roswell Kid, and I got to know Sean and the other guys that have been in that band. And yeah, they've been good friends of mine, and I've loved every record that they put out, and then I showed them to Derek, who runs Broken World, the label they're on, and they loved it and decided to put it out. So yeah, they've just been getting more and more popular, and they deserve it. They're honestly my favorite band overall. Like, they do great at every single thing they do.
Oh, that's so sweet. West Virginia bros. Oh, that's so cute. Well, it looks like you've toured with them too, so it goes beyond just the studio work. Like, you have been hitting the road together and collaborating, and that's really cute to see that, you know, West Virginia bands can still get together outside of the state.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And how was it? Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just going to say that they're great again.
Stop gushing about them, gosh. No, but they really are great. Like, I talked to Jordan, oh gosh, it was months ago. Like, they just released, like, the EP with Hummus Vacuum, and you know, I talked to him, and he's such a cool guy, and he just seems like a really, really, I keep saying bro, but I mean it in, like, the most positive, legitimate way, that he seems like a good bro to be around.
Yeah, definitely. He really is. Yeah. All those guys are great, yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like I keep interacting with West Virginia bros like Bud Carroll and, you know, and just Tucker Riggleman, and they seem like just really good folks to be around. I think that's such a nice thing to have in this scene, is people who are just, they're easy to talk to, they're buddies, and they're willing to be there for you if you need them, or just to hang out with a brew, whatever. And I think it's really nice. It seems like there's also like this resurgence of creativity here in West Virginia, and I'm sure it's because of these people being so bro-like.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I swear I said bro like 8 times. If this was a drinking game, everyone would be blackout by now. It's okay. But so in your experience with the West Virginia music scene, 123 was a big part of that for you. What other things are really representative of West Virginia music scene when you were here growing up?
Definitely 123. That's kind of the center of everything for me, at least, like, in West Virginia. I know the guys in Roswell Kid from Shepherdstown, they play a lot around there, and, like, the Blue Moon there is really cool. But for me, yeah, the most shows I played in West Virginia were at 123 Pleasant Street, and kind of a home base. I lived above it for 2 years in one of the apartments up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was great.
I can't imagine living above it. Was that kind of weird? Like just a little bit?
It was a little weird, yeah, but it was great. It was, you know, all of my friends would come over for a show and hang out before and after in the apartment. It was awesome. It was a really nice apartment, too. We kind of messed it up a little bit from living there, but...
What? Guys living in an apartment messing it up? What is this? In a college town? So are you still, do you still live in West Virginia then? Or like, where are you based out of right now?
Right now I live in Brooklyn.
Oh.
I live there, but everyone in our band is kind of spread out. Our home base is kind of Pittsburgh right now.
Hmm.
That's where we have a practice space in one of our members' basements, and that's where we keep all our gear when we're not touring.
And you said that you kind of got into The World is a Beautiful Place, what, like kind of in the middle of it? Like you were just brought in because of like a band change-up?
Yeah, there was actually a member left about 2 or 3 years ago, and then they decided to bring in some more people to take the spot, and I was one of them.
And I guess the band has been evolving since then. Like, I was trying to read up on it. It seems like, I think there's, like, a description about how the band is always evolving and changing its sound and never being in the same place as one time. That's not a direct quote, but...
Yeah, well, it's definitely the case. I think the only two people who were in the band at the very beginning were one of our guitar player, Derek, and our bass player, Josh. And then we just kind of always changed everybody else around. It's whoever wants to do it and whoever wants in, you know. So we write everything together, too, so the sound kind of changes based on, like, who's in the band and who's at the session and who's on the tour, that kind of thing.
I mean, would you still call the band, like, an emo, post-punk, post-rock band? Is that still applicable to what you guys are making?
I guess so. I didn't really realize that emo had gone away or even what was being called emo at any point. It was all like indie rock to me, so I never really got that label. I guess we're probably still that, I guess, because people say it is. I don't know. But I don't know. I just call it indie rock, I guess, because I don't know how to toss those labels around, and I feel like that's so widespread and generic that it can include us.
Yeah, that's true. And when I first was looking up, what do people refer to their music?
Yeah.
It all emo.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't thought of emo music for ages. The last time I thought of it was probably, oh gosh, I don't know, like mid-2000s, probably around like the Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco era.
Right.
And
yeah.
I didn't really get that from you all. And
yeah,
so I was
I don't
like...
get that from us either, but people still throw it around. I think they're talking about, like, I don't know, bands that I wouldn't even call that same thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, like American Football or, I don't know, bands that I don't really see the comparison to, but I guess it gets people to notice us, but I don't know why they throw that in.
Yeah. When I talked to Jordan about, like, their music, how they described it for Roswell Kid, he said that, if anything, he'd like people to describe it as, like, Hawaiian shirtcore. Which I thought was hilarious. But
yeah, that's great.
If there's a way for you to describe your music, like maybe it's kind of funny, do you have something that could fit that description?
We occasionally call it, I forget the exact phrasing, but I think it's post-maximalist weak-ass indie rock, I think is the phrase. But it's kind of a joke, I don't know. It's also kind of accurate, I guess. As much as any label really like that we can apply to ourselves, I don't know.
I had to step away from the mic for a second because I was laughing. That's awesome. Thank you. I don't know if that really matches Hawaiian shirt core, but that's still it's pretty damn great.
It's like as pretentious as it could get.
Yeah. It like has so many syllables in it. Ooh, you guys are so fancy. Well, I guess that's the thing. Like indie rock really... Like, I would consider this, like, what you guys are making, like, with Harmlessness, from what I've heard, I would consider that indie rock. I don't really see it being, maybe, I don't know, like, maybe we're going to have a resurgence of emo soon, and it'll be, like, old school emo.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. For until now, you know, until then, I'm just going to refer to you guys as, like, indie rock music, because I think that makes more sense to me.
But yeah, it's a nice, broad category. I'll find a way.
incarnate you. I'll carry you in my womb all the way home from work. When the power went out and the streets were filled, we bought our water and drank our milk. It made our bodies work.
So how would you describe your music? How would you describe the band's music from 2009 debut, whenever, if ever, in the now, with the new record coming out, Harmlessness? Do you think there's much of a change in tone and songwriting?
There's definitely a change. I think mostly because we have, like, a lot of the people who were involved with writing on Whenever If Ever aren't in the band anymore, and a lot of the people that wrote Harmlessness weren't in the band either. I feel like there's definitely overlap, because at the core, it's the same band, you know, but there's it's definitely different, because it's different people, you know, just different people in the room, different combinations of people in the room.
Do you think that maybe there's like a certain maturity along like with it as well, or do you guys think that you're still like the punk ass kids from when the debut came out?
I think we're still the punk ass kids.
Good, that's good to hear.
Yeah, we're just older now.
And it seems like you guys are really getting into the news. I mean, with that music video that was just released for January 10th, 2014, that was debuted on NPR Music.
Yeah, we were really proud of that. That was cool to get on NPR.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about that, about the music video?
Yeah. We knew we wanted to make a music video that kind of told a story like that, like from the lyrics of the song and everything. So we wanted somebody who could do like a narrative video and have it not be cheesy, because a lot of narrative videos are really cheesy. And so we basically pitched that to like a bunch of different people who do music videos, and they send us like descriptions of what they might do if they were to get hired to do it. And then we kind of went through and picked the one we liked, which is Christopher Good, and we watched all his music videos, and we were blown away by like the just like the cinematography in them, and like really cool set design, costume design, and everything was really like looked super high budget, you know. So yeah, we went with him, and he did a really good job. We loved that video.
And where did you like? Why the story of the music video? And I'm reducing this to its like bare minimum, but it's basically about a woman who's, I would almost call her like a vigilante of sorts.
Yeah.
And in how she basically killed in response to a woman being killed and were in the area that she was. How did that story catch your eye? Like, why did you choose this one to make a music video out of for your new single?
Well, a lot of, I've read online that I found out about it through This American Life, but that's not true. A lot of places are like, oh, there's a This American Life story about it, so you must have heard that and wrote about it. But I read an article, I think it was on The Guardian, about this woman called Diana the Hunter of Bus Drivers, and that headline caught my eye. I read about it, and I was just kind of really impressed that somebody was standing up to bullies in that way. And like, I really hate bullies of all sorts, like anything like that. And like, the ultimate bully is somebody who hurts someone who can't defend themselves. So I don't know, I just really enjoyed this idea that bullies were afraid, you know, they were afraid of someone who they didn't know who it was. They just knew of like this image of like Diana, the Hunter of Bus Drivers.
Well, that is interesting that it's not based on This American Life. So if Ira Glass is ever listening, he should know that this is not about him and what he does for a living.
I mean, I did listen to that and while I was looking it up, but I didn't, like, I think I had already written most of the lyrics to the song by the time I listened to the This American Life story. But I don't know. Like, a lot of the same things from the news article were in the story, so I don't know. And I haven't really gone out of my way to correct anybody from that. It's all just storytelling, yeah. So,
well, I know what you're doing. This is a long game. You're wanting them to do a piece about you in some way.
That would be cool. I mean, I do love This American Life. Maybe I did hear that a long time ago, and I just don't remember it. That's probably the case.
Look, I'm just...
I heard it, and then I saw the news article about it.
I know what you're getting at. You want the tote bag. You want, like, this tote bag that's talked about on public radio. I know what it is, and it's okay. You want swag.
If I get that tote bag, I'll quit the band. I'll go home right now. They just mailed me a tote bag.
What a weak response. Like, why did you quit the band? Oh, you know, family issues, girlfriend, dog died. No, I got a tote bag. I was pretty content.
Good tote bag. I guess I can carry some stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Just, well, it'd be horrible for every one of your fans that's like, no!
Don't put in the tote bag.
Watch it. Once this interview goes live, you're going to get like 1,000 tote bags, and it's going to be hilarious. Please give me one. But I'm sure they put the This American Life link in there because they're like, oh, you know, the story's really similar to, you know, This American Life, which is, you know, NPR. Yeah. Well, you know, I can understand why they did that. But
yeah, definitely. And I mean, hopefully that helped us get on NPR. If it did, I mean, that's fine.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
So you've already done that music video, and it's for January 10th, 2014. Do you have another music video lined up for Harmlessness?
I don't know if I can say specifically,
but
we do have some like live video-related things coming out, I think, in lieu of another like traditional music video.
Oh, okay, cool.
Last year we did an audio tree session in Chicago, and people seemed to really like it, so we're going to do something similar for a couple songs off the new album.
So you're, you know, you've been in the band for a little while or a while, whichever way you want to call it. Are you kind of used to a celebrity life? Like, or do people expect you to have a celebrity life?
I definitely don't live a celebrity life. I ate at a gas station today. I don't know. Yeah. I think the closest thing to it is that I have a bunch of Facebook friends who are people I don't know. They have me on Facebook. Yeah.
They found your like personal profile and they're like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I hope he friends me. And then like they're like, they probably tell their friends, oh, you know what, that Dave Bello, he's my best friend on Facebook.
Yeah. I accept them all. Unless they say something to make me mad, then I delete them. I can just erase them. It's a lot of power.
Facebook power, yeah. So you ate at a gas station today,
mm-hmm.
but you still have to go through what I guess maybe like media training or PR training to know like what you should say or points or anything along those lines.
I wouldn't say it's not. We're the kind of band where we do whatever we want to do, and then if somebody gets mad at us, we'll not work with them, I guess, kind of thing. which ends up with a lot of people like annoyed by us, but I don't know. It's worked for us for this long, so we kind of just don't follow rules. But then when somebody gives us like a bunch of money to do something, then we don't want to hurt them by disobeying them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we signed a Epitaph and they're awesome. Like I think we were all a little like wary of it because it's a bigger label that we weren't friends with for years. Like our previous label, Top Shelf, members of this band like knew them for a decade. And so we had, like, a pretty, like, friendly deal. And Epitaph's been super friendly and really nice and has done basically everything we've wanted them to do, and we've done everything they want to do. So it's kind of like if they tell us not to do something just out of sheer politeness, I'm going to follow the rules.
And they probably do care enough. They're asking you because it is, like, I guess, like a father or a mother. They're giving you advice.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if I like broke the news of like all our tour details, and I don't know their plans for like I don't know having it written in the sky on a cloud or whatever, or fall apart. I don't know what those kinds of things are, but to do goofy stuff like that.
Maybe they would have been announced in a podcast. You know, probably not This American Life, but maybe Serial.
Yeah.
Like you
yeah.
know, support is provided by
yeah.
The World Is a Beautiful Place and their tour dates.
Exactly, and then we can't get that tote bag.
just because we keep talking about the tote bag, I'm going to see if I can send you one.
You don't have to do that.
Just like a year from now, I'm going to like do it when you could totally forget about what we've done tonight. And then you're going to receive a tote bag in, like, the middle of, like, Indiana. And you're going to be like, what is this?
And then just quit the band right there. throw it all down.
In like a cornfield.
Find the nearest bus station.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to write this down. I won't, but I might. We'll see. Gosh, this is such a great interview. Usually this is like the point of the interview where I mention like a dog or Kanye or pepperoni rolls, but I'm actually going to mention pepperoni rolls because this is relevant. This is totally relevant. What are your thoughts on the pepperoni roll thing that's been happening in West Virginia? Have you been keeping up on that news?
About the sheets?
Yes.
I'm so glad that they are still going to carry them. Yeah. That's the case, right?
Yeah, it is. Although the news broke that they're only going to carry one brand.
Really?
Yes, only one brand.
Which brand?
The provider from Mountain State Bakery out of Clarksburg.
Okay, those are good ones.
Or say the home industry bakery. That's
good.
It. Yeah.
Good. I won't say which ones that I was hoping they weren't going to carry exclusively because I don't want to denigrate any pepperoni roll manufacturers, but there are some out there that do it better than others, and I'm glad they picked the right one.
Well, for people that are driving through West Virginia, and if there is a Sheetz here, I mean, compared to other states, we don't have that many. But if there is a Sheetz in the area they're driving through and they're like, hey, what are these pepperoni rolls? Then that gives them the opportunity to figure out, oh, West Virginia has a really good underground snack food scene.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Pepperoni roll. I wish they were everywhere.
I mean, me too. When I first started off with the change of tune and these interview things I do with like emerging artists, indie alternative artists, I typically ask them towards the end of the interview, like, have you been to West Virginia before? And they'd be like, oh, you mean Weston, Virginia? And then I was like, nope. And then I'd say, have you ever heard of pepperoni rolls? And they say, oh, do you hop down to like the pepperoni roll shop? And I'm like, nope. Nope, I don't do that. But you're right, they should be made available. Like they're delicious, they're handheld. I mean, you know, like you could make a food cart out of it if you were in the West Coast.
Yeah.
That could be a like gourmet food cart pepperoni roll experience.
Yeah, definitely. Or even like on a square plate with a little bit of marinara drizzled over it. $30 in a restaurant somewhere.
For like one that's maybe like the size of like a half dollar or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it's like a little piece of a ramp next to it or something.
Oh. Well, yeah, I'm happy that Sheetz, you know, they knew what was coming. It's funny. Public Broadcasting has done a couple stories about this, but it's funny that we took our stand not with other kinds of things going on in the state, you know, maybe mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood or Coal. We legitimately took a stand and were very much outraged about the pepperoni roll scandal.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where you know Sheetz is a good company. They do great work. Everything they do is good. They should know better than to not carry pepperoni rolls.
Mm-hmm. They should know quality, and this is quality. I mean, maybe it's not really the best quality. I mean, it is probably going to give you like heartburn or like cholesterol and whatever, but it's quality, nevertheless.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know what else needs to be everywhere? Mr. B potato chips.
Ooh, why aren't they?
I don't know. I only see them in West Virginia.
Oh, where are they produced in West Virginia, though? Is it the northern part of the state?
In Parkersburg.
That's right.
Yeah, it was, like, really close to my house growing up, and you could smell them. It was great.
Oh, you mean the factory was close to your house?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a potato chip factory. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, it's very good.
Well, I guess they, like...
in the air.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the smell's delicious around the area. But then maybe also, would you get free samples? Like what about the defective potato chips? Would they just give them
That's
to kids?
A good question. You know, I never actually went to the factory. I wonder if they do a tour.
I bet they do.
At the end. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I bet they do.
Yeah.
You should have known better.
I'm going to have to come back.
You could do like a food tour of West Virginia. That could be like, I don't know, like the snack food tour.
Yeah.
And you could just do a tour of like, and then also craft beer, because that's a big thing now too. And you could do the beer and bees tour, and you do like Mr. B's and craft beer promote it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Stuff at Bob's Hot Dogs and outside Elkins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's I've wanted to take this band through there just to get those hot dogs.
You're welcome.
Hot dog band.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that's great. Well, I covered that topic. I'm very happy about that. Another thing I forgot to ask you about is your solo music. You've released all kinds of music, it seems like, between the band and also just, you know, individual releases.
Yeah.
what's the difference between you doing something, you know, say on your own, than it is to do the band with, you know, The World is a Beautiful Place?
When I do it on my own, I pretty much, like, I have control over the whole thing. It's all my choices. When I work with the band, it's everything is everybody's choice. So it's kind of like the opposite. Like, we all kind of critique each other's ideas, and it ends up being, like, definitely like a group project. So if I come up with an idea, then everybody else says what they like about it, says what they don't like about it, and we all go through it. But when I work on my own, it's all me. Like, I decide where I put the microphone, I decide how long a thing should last, how loud a thing should be. Like, it's all me, basically.
Are you hoping in between tours for the band that you'll be able to work on some solo music? Or do you do it when you're on the road?
I've started to kind of do it on the road, but not a whole lot. I mostly do it between tours, and it's kind of few and far between that I get a chance to really, like, sit down and spend a lot of time working on it. But I'm hoping between the next tours that I'll have a little bit more time, because I have some stuff kind of half finished, and I just want to finish it really bad, and it's because it's been sitting for a while, and I want to put out another full-length record. It's been 4 years, I think, since I put out a full-length of solo stuff, so I've been sitting on stuff since then, and kind of, sorry, there's a motorcycle going by.
It couldn't be any worse than Jordan. Jordan, during our interview, was walking around, I think in Utah. He went to Wendy's and was eating French fries. And then in the middle of the interview, while he was eating French fries and a burger, which got me crazy hungry, a hobo came up to him and asked him for money.
Oh, no.
And I got it all in, like, audio. It was just, and that's how I think I started the interview. Like, I cut to that part in the interview for the podcast, and it was of him saying, "No, man, I don't have any money. No, man, I'm sorry, I can't help you."
That's great.
It was seriously one of the best interviews I've done. It was, and I was so crazy hungry. I went, like, I immediately ran out, went to Wendy's and got a burger. No hobo harassed me in that process. But, God, that was so funny. So if a hobo harasses you, I really hope we get it, like, on record.
We have this thing in our band where if we're, like, walking by a trash can and see something, like, that looks like it's still good, or if we're, like, trying to get something for free, we'll say, "Hey, can I have a bite of that?" No hobo. It's really stupid. And offensive on, like, multiple levels. But it gives me a chuckle.
Does anyone actually ever take something from the trash can? Does that happen?
We toured with a band that did that, and they were really good at it. I've never done it. They would find, like, really good stuff, though, and I was kind of impressed.
What?
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's mind-blowing how many people just, like, get something and then just put it in the trash.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, I've seen, like, TLC always has those kind of programs, like, you know, extreme couponers. And I remember one episode, a woman in New York City who was doing she had a pretty good job, could pay for anything she really wanted. She would go into the trash of certain restaurants and take out, like, all kinds of food that was just thrown away, but was pretty much okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if you do it a certain way, I'm sure it could work out in your favor. Yeah. It's just kind of, you know, you don't know the person that was eating it before you. So what if they don't like dogs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to eat from that person who likes cats instead? No.
Exactly. No cat people food.
No cat people food. Well, that was actually, that was a great story. I'm glad we got into that tangent, because then I got to figure out how cool you guys are as a band. Do you have anything else you want to mention, maybe about, you know, the new record coming out, or you know, music or life or West Virginia?
I kind of have an empty mind right now. I can't think of anything.
You should just say what first thing comes to your head.
There's a manhole cover on the street, and it looks really cool. It's like a spiral grid pattern. I can send you a picture of it.
Please do. Can you take a picture of it and then post it on Instagram and tag me?
Yeah, definitely. Do I follow you? Are you on there?
I follow you. I go under A Change of Tune because that's my show. That's my indie alternative show. So yeah, A Change of Tune.
Yeah, I'll do that right after we get off the phone. I don't know. That's the first thing that popped into my mind because I looked down, and it looks pretty cool. I mean, you're gonna see it, and you're gonna think it's really boring because it is kind of just a boring thing. But it's unique as a manhole cover.
Maybe that, like, symbolizes something, you know? Maybe that, like, reached out to you because that shows that the beauty in life is whatever you want it to be. So if something is simply a manhole cover, it could be more. It could be an entrance to a world left unseen.
Yeah, what's under there? You never know.
Of poop. Dave Bello is the frontman for the indie rock band The World is a Beautiful Place and I Am No Longer Afraid to Die. Their new record, Harmlessness, comes out September 29th on Epitaph Records. To hear more from the band, tune in to A Change of Tune, airing Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening. Okay, I guess I'll go back to the interview for 1 second. The one question I didn't ask, and I should, is what are your thoughts on how long the name of the band is? Because it is a long name.
It's really stupid. It's a stupid band name. If we stop at a gas station or we're around people who by definition will not know who we are as a band, they ask, like, oh, you guys look like a band because we're all smelly and wearing the same clothes for weeks. And they can tell we're a band. So, what's your band called? We usually just say The Clippers because it's really easy. And there was another band called The Clippers that broke up. So we stole their identity when they broke up.
You mean like The Clippers as in like the basketball team? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah.
Do you guys ever think, like, man, we should really change the band name and keep it that way? Like, because I know there's bands out there that have changed it, you know, like, from one to another within a couple years' time of the band forming. That's never popped into your guys' heads?
Nah, we kind of, I feel like we would all consider it a cop-out if we were to change at this point.
Do you think the world is a beautiful place? And two, are you afraid to die?
Sometimes for both. Depends on the situation and what I'm thinking about.
Well, after that manhole cover, I think you should say yes to the first.
Yeah.
And then maybe if the manhole cover is not there, because you might be afraid to die if you fell into it.
That's true. I'm definitely afraid of falling into a manhole cover or into the hole beneath it. That does frighten me. But thing is pretty beautiful. Actually, now I'm noticing there's like a chip taken out of the side of it. Not that great.